Okay, this morning we are going to be in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 through 49. But before I start, I want to ask you guys a couple of questions. Who has a body right now that you want to keep it for eternity? No takers on that one, huh? How many of you know what type of body you'd like to have? You know, if you watch science fiction programs on TV, I'm a big science fiction guy. You know, they show us evolving into people with weaker, no muscles in our arms and our legs hardly, and we have these big brains, these really big heads that we can control everything just by our thoughts. Not the kind of body I want to have, you know, later on. And so sometimes you become this little pure energy ball that just floats around and you can do and go wherever you want to. And so man has been fascinated with the afterlife since the beginning of time. I think we've all wondered, you know, what is it going to be like? What's it going to look like? What kind of body are we going to have? Are we going to have a body that, like, 30 years old, 18 years old, 75 years old? Probably no one wants to take a 75-year-old body with them. But, you know, we don't know a lot about it. And so today, as we look in 1 Corinthians, we're going to look at some of those things that the Bible says about what type of body we might have. But more importantly, Paul is going to address a heresy that's been going around, and we'll get to that in a minute. What I'd like to do is read through the passage for you. And I was telling Janet yesterday, sometimes I just want to read through the passage, say, amen, go home. Because I think Paul is pretty clear in his argument that he poses to these people today. So starting at verse 35, but someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life and let it die unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For stars differ from star in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown as a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living spirit. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have been born, just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Last week, Charles gave a kind of a synopsis of where we've been in 1 Corinthians 15, and I just want to go over that one more time real quickly. When we started this, Warren started the first 11 verses, and we looked at what was the gospel and who were the witnesses to the resurrection of Christ. Then we looked at, if the resurrection is not true, then we are to be the most pitied of all men, because we not only live a lie, we also teach a lie about who God is and what God wants for us. We looked at the benefits of the gospel, and then we looked at our reaction to the gospel and Jesus' role of subjugating everything underneath him. Today we're going to look at a couple of questions about our own bodily resurrections. And then next week, Charles will be back and he will close out the chapter with what I think are some of the most powerful verses in the Bible about the resurrection and what type of bodies we will have. So what are the two questions that Paul is going to answer today? The first one, how are the dead raised? And then secondly, what kind of body do they come? With what kind of body do they come? On the surface, these appear to be very simple questions. I think probably all of us have thought at some point in time, what type of body? What happens? How does this thing that's dead in the grave automatically become alive again? What happens to it? How does that occur? We don't know. We just know that God is going to raise us at some point in time. Has anyone here ever tried to raise a dead body? The only thing I could think of was Frankenstein. He tried to do it, but it didn't work out very good for Dr. Frankenstein. No one's ever done it before. And then question two, what will you be able to do? What will it look like? What will you be able to do with it? I think we all ask those questions at times. Scripture doesn't talk much about it, so don't get too excited. You're not going to leave here knowing exactly what type of body you're going to have when you raise from the dead. And that's because we don't really know. The question behind these questions is probably the more important thing to look at from these questions. If you look historically back at Corinth, there was a group called the Dualist. And dualism is a form of philosophy, and it basically says that you have matter, which is evil. Material things are evil. Spiritual things are good. And the two do not reside together. They are always separated. So even though they believed that you had a spirit, it somehow wasn't connected with your body. It was different than what we would believe, as the spirit indwells us. It is part of who we are. It's not something that's separate from who we are. And so Paul is trying to deal with this false teaching that the natural can become the spiritual. That's where the rift was, that the natural, they would believe that there's no way that the natural could be raised any way other than being a natural body, could not be raised as a spiritual body. So let's see Paul's first reaction to them. Paul's first reaction is, you foolish people. I get to thinking sometimes, if I was writing this letter, what would I say? And I would say something like, what is wrong with you people? Haven't you been paying attention? You know, this is chapter 15. We've been talking about lots of stuff. What's wrong with you? Do you really believe that God, who came and gave his life for us and died for us and rose from the grave, that he is going to allow us to remain the same for eternity? Do you really think that's what he's going to do? Or does God have something much more powerful in store for us? We know that this body has to die, and then it's going to be raised into something different. And Paul says, basically that This body is designed for this world. When Christ returns and we go to the new heaven, we're going to have bodies that are designed for the new heaven. It's not going to be the same. There may be some similarities to things, but it's not going to be the same. Matthew Henry says this in one of his commentaries. Note, it is a foolish thing to question the divine power to raise the dead when we see it every day quickening and reviving things that are dead. This is plainly in the divine power, though we no more know how it is done than we know how a dead man is raised to life again. It is certain the grain undergoes a great change, and it is intimated in this passage that so will the dead when they rise again and live again in their bodies after death. You know, you can take a seed and plant it in the ground, and it will grow. I still don't think today that scientists can tell you exactly why or how that process occurs. In the next verse, Paul says this, what you sow does not come to life and let it die, unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other kind of grain. First, this body has to die. And when he says die, it means there is no life anywhere. There's no ability in it to do anything. It is dead. Secondly, what this body goes into the grave as, we don't know what it's going to come out the grave, what it will be like when it comes out of the grave. We don't know. Just like if you take a bare kernel, stick it in the ground, if you don't know what it's going to be, if you don't know what kind of plant it's going to be, you have no idea what it's going to look like. There's no way to tell. But it's not going to be a seed. The seed doesn't grow up to be a giant seed. It grows up to be something different. And in order for this to happen in plants, you have to have the right temperature of the soil. You have to have moisture. And you have to have the right kind of soil for it to grow in. It's three things that it takes for it to grow. And we don't know how all that exactly works. We figured out that if you plant corn at a certain temperature and you give it moisture and you give it the sun warms it up and gives it the heat that it needs, it germinates and it grows. Don't know how it works. God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. So it's important to pay attention because God determines what the body's going to be like. You can go to the next slide. God determines what the body's going to, what the seed is going to turn into, what is planted, what it's going to turn into. On this next slide, can you tell me what kind of seeds those are? I have no idea. But the point is this. Those seeds are going into the ground. They are going to get watered, and they are going to be at the right temperature and hopefully the right depth in the soil. They are going to germinate, and they are going to come up out of the ground as something. We need to have the confidence that our bodies are going to go into the ground. Something's going to happen. And then we are going to come up something different than what went in the ground. And God is going to be the one that determines what that's going to look like. Next slide. For all flesh is the same, but there's one kind for humans, one kind for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. So we see in nature that everything is different. And God chooses what it's going to grow into. Go to the next slide. Four different types of skin. Upper right, upper left is human skin. Upper right is bird feathers, leopard, and then a fish. Each one is designed for the environment in which it lives. and for what its purpose is. But Paul doesn't stop with an illustration just of the bodies or what's on earth. He goes on to say there are heavenly bodies, earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly is of one kind and the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for stars differ from stars. If you look at a picture of the sun and the moon, stars in the sky, you know, those are, each one is unique and different. The bottom right picture is taken with the Hubble, probably the bottom two are taken with the Hubble telescope. And it's given us images that we have never, ever seen before of what the stars look like. And I don't know if they've ever found two that are exactly the same. And each one of them possesses its own glory and is constructed by God to produce something. It's God's privilege to do that. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. And I think here, I think it's important to realize that with what body do they come? This is where Paul starts his argument that they will be different for sure. And Paul is answering the dualist head on here. He's taking the argument and saying, what is sown, what is put into the grave is perishable. It's going to go away. What comes out of the ground is going to be something that never ends. It's going to be the body that we have for eternity. What is put in the ground that is corrupt or dishonorable will be raised in a glorious body. No corruption, no dishonor. What is sown in weakness, our human frailties, is raised in power. No more physical weaknesses or whatever that we know of. What is sown as the natural body is going to be raised as a spiritual body. And Paul ends this verse by saying, if there is a natural body, there will be a spiritual body. And we have to take that by faith. And God has demonstrated that to us. And I think this is where he gets into the argument, and he's going to show us what this new body, why we can be guaranteed that we have a new body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. If you think about it from the big perspective, Adam, the first Adam, was the beginning of the human race. If you look at the second Adam, Jesus, he is the beginning of man having the ability to become eternal beings. He gives us the spirit, and he gives us spiritual bodies so that we can live forever. So, Adam up to Jesus, all natural bodies. Jesus now comes, and he has the ability to give us the spiritual bodies that we need to live eternally. And he's the first one that gets one of those spiritual bodies, and we'll look at that a little later this morning. The old man and the new man have different purposes, different meanings, designed for different things. It's not the spiritual that came first, but it's the natural that came first and then the spiritual. We started as natural beings. God will take that natural and turn it into spiritual. He doesn't take the spiritual and then turn it into something that will be perishable. He takes the natural and changes it to something spiritual that will be eternal. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. God formed the first man from dirt. The second man, Jesus, came from heaven and wasn't formed from the seed of Adam. Spiritually, I mean, it goes back to the Immaculate Conception. God initiated the new person, initiated Christ's birth by impregnating Mary. And so we have, Jesus is not connected to the first Adam. He's different. We have to remember that. And he came from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those of heaven. None of us will question that we were men of dust. We all were corrupt from the beginning of our lives. We have been corrupted individuals. All those who don't believe when they die will be of the dust. All of those when they die who have been believers, they will be like the man of heaven. It's pretty simple. If you have no spiritual connection to God, you are dust. If you have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you are spiritual. And the next verse, it says, oh, wait a second here. Let me look at a verse out of Philippians 3. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to even to subject all things to himself. We are already not of this world. If we are believers, we are not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. Positionally, that's where we are. But we dwell here. And Paul even talks about we are not of this world, we are of heaven. And not to get caught up in the things of this world, but in this passage it says, we will be transformed into a glorious body because we are with Christ. Our citizenship is no longer here. We're in heaven. We will have bodies that will be fit for heaven at some point in time. And Christ has the power to do that because at a certain point in time, all things will be under his power. He will be able to do it. We don't have to worry about him not having the ability to do it. Just as we were born, just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. None of us would question that we have borne the image of Adam. We have lived our lives in such a way that it's pretty easy to look at each individual and say, yeah, I think they're a sinner. It's pretty easy to determine that. We can look at ourselves and determine that. We can look at other people and determine that. If that has been true about who we are physically, we can also know that one day we will bear the image of the man of heaven because we are connected with him now. In Romans 8, it says this, you, however, are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him, people of the dust. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Paul is reinforcing the idea that if we have the Spirit indwelling within us, when these bodies die and go in the grave, they are going to come up spiritual because the Spirit of God has the ability to do that. So what do we really know about these spiritual bodies? Have you ever seen one? Do you know anyone who has one spiritual body? You do. And the answer is Jesus. Like the answer is always supposed to be Jesus. But we can look at his post-resurrection body or some examples of what happened after he resurrected and get an idea maybe of some of the things that our spiritual body will have. But even then, it's just a glimpse. We don't know the full extent. So in these next passages, what I did is I went through and I looked at some of the events after the resurrection when Jesus appeared to different people and what it says about what type of body he has. So in Matthew 28, this is Mary and Magdalene and the other Mary as they departed the tomb. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. So one, this new body, you have the ability to talk. And it's a physical body because you have the we would have the ability to hold on to it and touch it. It's not this mystical ghost thing that you stick your hands through. It's a physical body. In John 20, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." So we know doors are locked, but somehow Jesus appears to them. In science fiction, he would be teleported there. In this spiritual body, I have no idea how he gets in the room. But he's there, and he stood among them so they can see him. So it's not Casper the Friendly Ghost coming in. It is a body that comes into the room somehow. And then this is Mark 16 is part of the guys as they're walking down to Emmaus. And it says, "And after these things, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country." So what does it mean that he appeared in another form? Some people think it could be a different type of attire. Some people think that he hid who he was from them like he did with Mary in the garden. Because when she first saw him, she thought he was the gardener and didn't recognize who he was. But if you read both of these passages all the way through, they eventually come to recognize him for who he is, Jesus, the resurrected one. It doesn't say that he looked exactly the same as he did when he was on the earth. We don't know if his face looked exactly the same. We don't know. But in both cases, they had the ability to recognize him. In Luke 24, this is the end of that trip to Emmaus. It says, "While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. When he was at a table with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight." So this body that Jesus has the ability to pick up things, break things, hand them to other people. So it's a physical body of some sort. But yet in the very last part of this, he says he vanishes from their sight. Does that mean poof, he's gone? Or does that mean he left? But he can pick up things and he has the ability to leave. In Luke 24, With the disciples, he says, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." So he has flesh and bones. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And why they still disbelieved, disbelieved for joy. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. So it has the ability to consume food, whatever body that he has. And he himself says it's not a spirit body. It's a physical body. In John 20, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. So once again, he's able to come into the room. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it on my in my side." So there's a physical body that he has Thomas touch. This body bears the scars from the cross, which I never really thought much of before, but it was a way for him to prove to them who he was. So this body once again appears. It's a physical body, and the disciples touch it, and they can see it, and they can see the scars, so they know who it is. Acts 1, he presented himself alive to them after his sufferings by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days. So this body had some endurance to it. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on him, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. So somehow this body went up into heaven. We have no idea how it went up into heaven. If you look back at these verses, we know it's physical. He can walk. He can talk. It eats. It can appear instantly. It can disappear quickly. But that doesn't really tell us much. We just know from this description that there's a lot of things that it can do that we cannot do. And I think that's the important thing to remember, that, you know, Paul through Corinthians has been trying to settle a lot of the arguments that people were having amongst themselves. And I think here Paul says, we're going to have bodies. We're going to have spiritual bodies. Don't worry about that. They are going to be spiritual bodies. This is not something that as Christians you need to argue about. I remember Charles put up a thing of church splits one time, and it had like a historical perspective of all the different churches and why they had split. And I wonder how many people had split churches over believing what the spiritual body was going to be like. If that's been a battle that's been fought that doesn't need to be fought. I think what we need to remember from this passage is that this body is going to go into the ground as one thing. God, through the Holy Spirit, is going to quicken it some way, and it will rise differently than it went into the ground. And God is going to be the one that chooses what that body looks like and what that body has the ability to do. And that body will be fit for us for the heavenly kingdom where we will dwell forever. That's all we need to know about the body. I think it's one of those things that's kind of cool to anticipate. One of the benefits that we can't tell what it is yet, but we know it's a benefit. It's going to be exciting once that day comes and we get those new bodies. Next week, Charles is going to come back up here, and he's going to talk about our worshipful response to the resurrection and what's going to finally conclude. I would encourage you to read verses 50 through 58 and close out this chapter and look at the glorious truths that are there about our resurrected bodies and what they're going to be like, and that Paul is very emphatic that it's going to happen. There's no doubt in Paul's mind that we're going to get new bodies. So let's close in a word of prayer. Father, this morning we come before you and we are truly thankful that you are going to change us, that we do not have to worry about what eternity will be like, that you will prepare, just as you have prepared rooms for us and places to dwell, you will prepare for us a body that will be sustainable or will be what we need for that spiritual kingdom. And Father, we're thankful that we can know that we will have different bodies or that we will be changed because we believe in this, in your Son. And his death, burial, and resurrection prove that what he's done was accepted by you. And so thank you for giving us this wonderful promise that one day we will draw with you, and we will draw with you for an eternity. Amen.